Welcome back, everyone, to Expand the Curve. It's your host, Olive Bassey, and I have the amazing, talented James with me today. He's an illustrator. I'm obsessed with his work on Instagram. James, how are you doing today?
I am good. Doing well, thank you.
I'm so glad to hear. When I first found you on Instagram, I was obsessed with your work because I was like, I don't think I've ever seen anything like it before. Just because of the color and the resonant. It was just like the way you display plus size representation and then the way you like portray it is just, it's so relaxing. Even though, again, his work can be NSFW. I love it. There's no filter for me.
Thank you. That's so nice to hear. It's like you have to walk a kind of a line with social media, especially when it's like, the queerer and more body positive it gets, the more it's flagged and looked out for
because
they hate counterculture.
Oh, God. It's the worst.
They're always trying to silence. Go on.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. They are always trying to, like, put us in this, like, second tier when we're already, like, not existing. So it's just, okay, can I just be at least heard at least once?
Mildly. A little bit.
Seriously.
Let me get through.
I would like the audience to know, like, how you got into this passion of being an illustrator.
That's a cool question because, like, for a really long time, I was, like, a doodler, and I never really took art seriously or thought I'd do anything with it. I played in bands for a long time, and that was, like, going to be my thing. But I got a little sick of the ego aspect of that kind of collaboration because bands are a lot of people, so you can't really get ideas if the people don't get along. That's why it's like rare for bands to be great because
stick around.
Yeah, it's got to have good chemistry, and when you have a lot of people that are, you know, visual artists using their own bodies to express themselves, it gets a little harder, at least in my experience. But then I started working on this project that was making me work a little more serious, like a comic project. And then my friend passed away that I was working on it with. He was an artist, and we were mixing our work together. And at first I was like, oh man, I don't even want to draw anymore. But then it felt like inspiring to draw. For some reason, I started taking it more seriously because of that. So I find myself drawing, going a little more in depth and pushing myself. And I went from just being a doodler to, I mean, I even in quarantine, I taught myself so much because I didn't go to art school or anything. So I just always had to do these things the hard way, even if I'm like researching, or it took me a while to get into perspective drawing and all that. But mostly it was just a natural progression from music, I think, because music has so much promotional art and all that stuff. And you get involved in that DIY angle of it, and aesthetics play into it. And yeah, honestly, in the last like 5 years, maybe I started taking drawing super seriously and realized like, oh man, I can express all the things I want through music, through my art too. And it's almost a little more personal because you can write a love song, but you can express your love for the human form or what you enjoy about life, really, or media or culture and movies. You can just directly say that with visual art. You don't have to lead people into a song. They can just see something that they look at on Instagram or something, and they're hit by it quick if it appeals to them. So it's, I don't know, just fell into
That's
it
awesome.
Almost. It's
I feel like art's very fluid and there's not one form of expression. Everyone may say that they start with music like you did and then switch to illustration and then maybe switch to, who knows, another form of art. And it's so fluid and it's so interesting to hear that you came from a music background. And I think that kind of artistic expression transcended into becoming an illustrator, and I think it reflects it in your work.
It's cool to hear. I like knowing that it somehow translates. And
it was the last piece of the puzzle for me to figure out your work, and it's okay, now it's full circle, now everything makes sense of why you put it into this passion. You said 5 years is like when you started to like really take it all seriously.
Yeah, honestly, like about the last 5 years, maybe six, but 5 years it feels since I started drawing like every day and trying to actively get better and seeing if I could build some kind of traction at all. It wasn't really about commissions. I just was, what am I doing keeping like notebooks? And then I'd have a lot of like my drawings in the back of my notebooks would be of like these big guys who I would be like, I keep secretive. And then I think I started drawing more because I realized, oh, I can take those characters that I'm super passionate about, but I'm like, because I'm a queer person who likes big bodied men, it's like hard to, usually those things are met with like negativity. So I kept them closer to me, I think. But then I realized like, oh, if I make these the focus of my work and like stop trying to put characters in that I don't really have like passion about, that I could do something maybe. And that's where I got to now. And now like all my collaborations are based around that idea. Cause I don't know, that kind of became the thing that I realized, like, oh wait, this is a way I can celebrate this like part of my life that's huge to me, but I'm always silencing because I'm just so used to dealing with, you get standard reactions to like, when you don't find like a base level example, like when you're not like, when Channing Tatum does nothing before you, people can't get that. Like some people just can't understand that. And then it feels like, all right, I just want to talk about this with people. But art allows me to not have to like sound off and complain. I can just be like, this is what I think is cool. And these are who I think are cool, and get reduced to doing like the worst parts in all of our like culture's media. Big body people are always reduced to a further stereotype. If they're already a stereotype, they get pushed to an even further stereotype. There's, I don't know. That's, I think that's the magic of the, the visual art for me, though, is you get to amplify those things that you like care about.
Yeah. And it's really interesting to hear an outsider looking in onto our perspective, because it's, thank you for loving us and appreciating Big Body Men, because like don't get enough love. So it's really like that kind of community. I really appreciate it. And I was just curious, like, you did say like you did lose a friend who was your inspiration. What really took off like for you to like really take on that motion of, okay, I really want to take this more seriously and start drawing for big-bodied men, because that's who I like and what I love. Yeah.
I think it's cool to bring up my friend again. He was like a driving force for me, because he's like one of the few people that like would be like, no, I love your art. And he was like a very talented like art school artist. Like he could do that hyper realistic, or he worked in a lot of different mediums. He was really into tagging and like street art. So we were very different in a lot of ways, but he was always super encouraging. And he actually, I have like a great memory of, we were at some like Dunkin' Donuts or something, and I like went inside to get coffees for us, and he was just flipping through my art book. And he had found these like big bodied, like scantily clad dudes I was drawing. And I was not an out person at the time. And I remember he just said, I don't remember the exact words, but he was just so nice about it and was like, these are awesome. These are such good form studies. He's like, I've never seen these, because I usually shared art with him. So I think when he passed, I maybe was just like feeling sentimental. But I think it also, and it made me feel connected to his loss a bit, to work on, to keep drawing this project we were working on. But then thinking over my relationship with this friend, this guy encouraged me in every way, including, don't hide these in the back of your notebook. These are like your best, from a form standpoint, these are your best drawings. And I just think on that a lot. And that kind of expanded into getting excited about that, because making comics has always appealed to me, and advertising for bands and stuff has always appealed to me. But then I just, it's almost like one of those like aha moments where you're just like, oh wow, like I can combine all my things together. Like I don't have to have a personality for this, a personality for that. It can all be the same thing. I don't gotta play any role or anything. Like,
yeah,
that makes sense. I don't know if it does.
You're good. I completely understand. I feel like when you have a friend like that who is very supportive, and when you doubt yourself the most, it resonates with you even after you're either no longer talking with them or they've gone for your life. It's just every time you make a new artwork, it really stands out the most. And it's just like you could see it whenever you, like, I look at your drawings and your artwork.
Oh, man. Thank you.
It's so, I will get teary eyed because it's so beautiful to me.
Thank you.
I really appreciate that. Do you have a favorite piece that you're like, I can never post online, or you've posted online and you're like,
it's hard.
It satisfies you.
I that's really cool, honestly, because I don't really think about it that much. Like a lot of the stuff I like, I'm really proud of, like some the NSFW stuff. I get proud of how like quickly I can produce it, and because it just feels like pent up kind of feelings where you're just like, oh, I just want to draw these things that like I've and I think it's just natural to like, I naturally just want to draw beautiful stuff like most artists. You just want to draw what you find beautiful, whether it's like buildings or people. But I think there's something like more exciting about the fact that it was like, it feels very almost like punk middle finger up to be like, yeah, you know what, if the majority of like backwards thinking people I encounter are going to like, like I've had a lot of people say that my drawings are intimidating or scary, the NSFW things I draw. And I'm like, I don't see it. I think you're just outing yourself as like, labeling big people as intimidating or scary, or putting them in like a role of being like large, and that's a bad thing, and that's a fucking, sorry, that's strange.
Oh, you
to
can
me.
Curse.
Okay, I didn't know if that was a rule or not.
No, you're good. This is an NSFW podcast.
Good, but yeah, I was gonna say I always ramble, but to get to the meat of that is like the stuff I really love is the chances I get to put like the people I find beautiful into scenarios that they are always excluded from. The book I'm working on, I've been working on for 2 years, this book, I post a lot of this character, Beef Chunk. He has this hockey mask. He's Mohawk. So he's almost like an amalgamation of, I love the Mad Max series. So my idea with him was just, how about the guy who's usually only used as like a doorman or a thug in action movies? He usually gets just shot. He's cannon fodder, the big guy. Why can't he be the lead guy? And why can't he be the one that like saves the day and all this stuff? I always had all of my crushes growing up from the time I was like 5 years old. We're always like, I'd sit there watching movies and be like, this guy has such a small part and he's like a good actor and he's really like handsome and charming, but they're not putting him in like the lead. They refuse to, because like, you can't do that in a movie that sells money. You have to have some basic Chad as the lead. It messed with my head a lot. Like, this realization came to me later, but like, I realized like the pieces I like the most tend to be like these action based pieces where the focus is, yes, I'm going to draw someone that looks nice, but I'm also going to draw them doing something that they don't get the opportunity to do, like, which is beating down a bunch. I love to draw a couple of my characters and just be fucking up KKK members, because it's such a strong visual to see, like, everybody knows what the point of it is when they see like the KKK. It's like a very punk aesthetic and album art aesthetic to have the KKK getting in like a sniper rifle scope or something. It's, we all want a little bit of like catharsis from that, and I just think putting fat men in the center of that who are like considered strong in football, but then in a day-to-day level we treat them like, oh, that guy's lazy and doesn't do anything, and that's just demonstrably not true. We've all worked jobs where that guy is sometimes the only one that can do that thing because like he's bigger and stronger. So I just figured, and that doesn't have to be exclusive. You can have soft, big characters too, but it just, and a lot of the stuff I do with Alex Smith, They Are Birds on Instagram, he is such an amazing character creator that I don't even have to do a lot of like thinking work. He comes up with these great archetypes to give, he'll give me a nice layout for a character that's big, that feels like they're getting to do something they never do. So I don't have a favorite piece, but action stuff is my, it excites me beyond belief, because like I was saying, I sat there watching all the characters I liked being like killed or just called like lazy or comic relief. It's annoying. It gets to you. So those are the ones that make me feel like, ooh, I did a good job on that.
Yeah. No, I get that, because sometimes you find inspiration with the movies and like the side characters.
This is just like a passion project. But when people are also hyped on it, it's okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah. People would definitely be down for this. Like, there's a lot of people to be down for this.
Of course. What's the longest piece that you've done? How long did it take you?
I think like the things that take the longest with our new Black Vans 2, this isn't out yet, so it's hard, but there are panels that are like the size of my palm on the page, and they took me like a solid maybe day and a half to do, but I tend to work pretty quickly. But like with single drawings that I post on Instagram, they usually take me a couple hours, and then maybe an hour for coloring, because I color digitally. But comic panels, especially, the more I fine-tune my skills, would be the best words, I start to really cram details in there. So then I'm just like, oh my God, I like end up with hand cramps, because it'll take me like a solid day and a half to get something done and make it look cool. But on average, like a lot of the stuff that I share on Instagram is pretty quick work. Once I know what I want to like see it as, like, a lot of the times I'll be watching a movie while I'm like checking emails and doing all that boring stuff you have to do, like, putting yourself out there for art. I'll have a movie on in the background or something, and I'll see a really cool landscape or a really cool like framing of a shot, and I'll, you know, pause it and try to recapture it in my own way, which is like a big thing for me, is because for a while I didn't use reference photos, and I just felt like I was stagnating if I didn't have like reference points, because I never trained at like the human form. I think it's maybe slowed down my art a little bit using like reference points and like thinking about posing more, but I still work pretty fast. Like sometimes I'm like, you should have slowed down, that would have come out better. But on average, like my speed feels quick, I guess, because certain things are more demanding and more people are going to see them. If you're putting a book to get published, even if it's like small, that it's, I can't take that back and fix it. That person has it. And now that's, so I've gotten a little more I get hyper focused on that stuff that ends up on printed paper.
Yeah. You mentioned you did a collaboration. Do you do a lot of those recently?
Yeah, I've actually, it's been really cool, the types of stuff that I've gotten to do, just because like people will reach out to me purely for the types of bodies I draw. So if they have a story that caters to that. For example, I got to do a really cool project recently where it was part of an anthology series about a sumo character who's just one of many characters. It takes place, it's like a Victorian time period. So it's like old school sumo stuff, but it was cool because I got asked to do this anthology. And when I first got the offer, I went and looked at what this character looked like already, because I was drawing a character that someone else had already interpreted, because that's how this is, multiple artists. And I was like a little, I don't know, because this person drew like a much more manga maybe style sumo that was a bit slimmer. I show up to watch sumo because of the male forms that are on, so I was a little nervous. But then once me and this writer Craig started working together, I realized, oh, he asked me to do this because he wants this character to be reinterpreted. And that made me like, oh, I can really dig into this now. I guess my point was just that like the collaborations I've gotten have not forced me to compromise, which is great, because I'm very much not about second classing. You know what I'm just saying? Like everything I said before about like, I want to feature these people, not put them in the background. So it's, if you come to me with a story about Adonis character, like I had to turn down another project that I was really excited to do because I was like, I don't think it's in line with what I'm like my statement, quote unquote, is as an artist.
Yeah, no, you're like creative integrity. You feel like you have to, you shouldn't have to give that up. So no. If you feel like the idea doesn't work with what you're working with.
Yes.
I completely agree. Yeah.
But otherwise, the collaboration stuff has been like really exciting for me, because it's like, everything I said about bands at the start of this, it's the opposite when people think they, let's combine our forces to be greater than the sum of our parts, not just maybe this will work, maybe it won't, but we're going to be like edgy about it. It just seems very warm when people approach you knowing what you do, because the art speaks for itself in some ways.
Absolutely. I think with collaborations, it's a very much a give and take, but you don't want to give too much because then you find it feel like a sellout. But if you take too much, it's like, then I didn't really do any part with the actual collaborator.
Exactly.
So it's trying to find the balance. And I think you really nailed it.
I'm very excited to get my own work done, but the collaborations are so exciting because in these cases, like the two books I've done so far, I like just respect the writers a lot, and they're totally different writers. Like Alex and Craig are my first two, you know, we had a wider amount that we printed of both of these books, and they couldn't be more different. Like even the way they scripted these stories is different. I didn't have to bring any, like the only creative juice I had to have was for like character design and city design. And normally I get so bogged, like my book has taken me so long because I get so bogged down with this story needs to be as good as the art. And as like a visual person, I'm like editing the story all the time because I'm just like, this is not good enough. This is not good enough. So when someone brings you something that's like, I did all of that, so you don't have to, it's so exciting. Like it's indescribably exciting, kind of.
Oh my God. That's so cool. Oh, I wish I was that talented, honestly. You make me like want to try drawing an illustration so badly.
I think everybody should, man. It's one of those things. I always think about, I don't know, Kurt Cobain always had awesome t-shirts that had like crude art on them, and that was my first exposure to, man, everybody's an artist when you just see, and then that was me as like a little kid. So then when you start to pay attention to it more, and you're like, I always tell people to draw though, because I'm like, I think some of the coolest stuff is people's scribbles. Like you work at a job and someone like that works at the same station leaves something they scribbled on and you're like, this is so fun to look at. Like it's cave painting.
Oh, that's so cool. I really like that. What piece of advice would you recommend to someone who wants to get into illustration like yourself that's self-taught?
Oh, that's tough. I mean, for me, it's probably don't be afraid of social media, because I was very like wary of it and like afraid to be sucked into it. But putting myself out there, it's like it is, as much as it's obviously got so much baggage that comes with social media, I've gotten like the coolest support and also like opportunities, because I didn't have to like compromise. Like, I'm not the kind of artist who's like constantly like taking selfies in my studio and acting like I'm working on bigger shit than I am. But there is something cool like this, for example. It's like this podcast happens because there is that way of, I don't have to go to a gallery and have some work that like, because art, if you're working class, art is difficult to pull off. So like, you got to rely on the social media stuff, because you don't have to be like able to travel or able to have like a studio that you can produce these giant pieces in. You can do it in your bedroom. So I guess, yeah, just don't be afraid of it. I guess it'd be like the best stuff. I wish I had gotten over my like, I'm too cool for that bullshit earlier. So
yeah, no, I feel like social media is such an up and down, and sometimes everyone's like, oh, you have to try this and you'll get more views, or oh, you have to do this and you'll definitely get more reach and more of an audience. But at the end of the day, it's, I'm just gonna post whatever I want.
Yes. Yeah. That's important to put on the back, like to piggyback off of that, is that like, also don't care about it so much that you like think it's going to do anything more than it is. But I think it's almost a great tool for advertising, and not even for advertising, it's like networking in this day and age is like, we just don't do it the same. We're not like as much of a yuppie culture either. Not that there's not like an obvious ruling class, but we're like, the working class doesn't have the same, especially after the pandemic. It's, we don't have the same kind of congregation. A lot of places are closing early still. So it's, you don't have the same, oh, I can go to this like art show. It's all coming back. It's all coming back a little bit now, but like, especially in the pandemic, and especially I think is like that, whether we like it or not, the pandemic kind of changed what social media can be. So I feel like people that maybe were a little resistant to it are a little more open to it now, because they were like, it was my only means of connection during the last 2 years. So I don't know. Yeah, like you said though, it can be horrible too. So it's like, you just gotta have to be like, and not give a shit about the likes, because it's like, once you start like comparing that stuff, you're just gonna keep getting mad at like, the people who had the ability to like give more time than you were able to do and work a day job and spread yourself thin, so you can't become crazy, right? Like
exactly. And everyone feels like social media is just like a young person's game, but like, I've seen so many people who are successful like in their 40s, 50s, and 60s.
Yeah,
it's insane. So just like how anything's possible, like age is like literally a number.
It's that to me, I so strongly agree. And I also think one of like the coolest things is like, I love to see like older artists get involved in, whether they're filmmakers or anything, or people who have been doing it for longer than you. It's super inspiring when they're like able to, you're like, it makes you less afraid of getting older too. Cause you're like, man, these people have adapted and they're still cool. Like, they're still doing their thing, and they're not, it's almost more commendable because they're not doing fucking TikTok dances and shit. They're interacting with it in this like really pure way that I think is like something to almost aspire to, and not be so like in it for the likes, just like in it to put yourself out there and have a cool form of interaction with other people. It's awesome.
Yeah. Do you feel like fat art representation is on the up, or is it still pretty consistent rate?
I think it's on the up, but I also, there's this like part of me that is always like very skeptical of mainstream culture. They'll be like thick and curvy for like 5 years, and then they'll be disposable with that stuff, because it happens all the time with so many types of, it's in now, oh, we're all like digging in now. Then we sometimes revert to those like very common eugenics-y type like standards very quickly. All it takes sometimes is like an economic shift or a political shift for those things to change. So it's, but I do think it's on the up in general. Like, I think a lot more people, I think like, I'm a millennial, but I think like even the younger and people, millennials and younger, are way less embarrassed about the things they like. And maybe not broadly, but definitely in terms of like people who aren't mainstream are very much, yeah, I don't really give a shit. Like, there's so many problems in the world that, like, me making problems out of, like, the types of people I like is getting ridiculous. And I think a little more with the more people are comfortable with being queer and having, like, more types of people involved in all forms of media, it almost gets hard to backtrack and go in the opposite direction. Because, yeah, like, if you're willing to accept people for being queer, why are you judging them at all? And that we get a lot of pandering over a lot of this stuff. But at the same time, I'm less skeptical than I am hopeful, because it does seem to be more like, you can't deny this is good, or you can't deny this is, like, beautiful. And because that's another thing. We're talking about social media. Yes, it's cruel and insane. And sometimes the comments just make you want to scream at some stranger. But, like, at the end of the day, there's also something really cool about the fact that there are a lot of plus size people, women and men, every type of person, but plus size people that are receiving, I think, adoration and admiration that they would not have gotten from 10, 15 years ago. Like, you just don't, even someone like me was, like, more scared to be myself. And just, it's not like I let that rule who I dated. I've always just been, I'm very transparent once people, like, get that wall down. Outwardly, it just always felt, ooh, it's like a second thing I have to be aware of, that people are going to be like, what, you like fat guys? What, that's crazy. And then it'd be like, yeah, like, it's not much different than you having a couple series of things that you're drawn to. Like, you do the same right thing, just differently.
Everyone has a preference. I don't understand why mine's more shamed.
Yes, exactly. And I think more people have that, what you're doing, like what you just said, I think more people are thinking that before, like, choosing to be, you know, closeted about what they enjoy, or, like, only have it enter in their, you know, searches, their adult site searches.
Yeah, like, we know what's the most, like, the top 10 search. Stop playing games.
Yeah, that's exactly it. It's, I think that has something to do with it too, I bet, because there's less of a fear of being puritanical. People on, yes, the left and right tend to be very, like, a little more open about being driven by their sexuality, whether they're whatever they identify as. It's like there's a little less conservatism. We're trying, I think, to get away from that, like, shit that starts in the Reagan era, where everyone gets afraid of all this, like, stuff that happens in the 70s, where, like, Prince is wearing, like, garter belts and shit on stage, God, turning, yeah, everyone on. Like, I think they double down every time somebody does something like that. There's, like, a double down pushback, but then I think three steps back and then five steps forward or three steps back. It's such a pull, but I'm hoping that it's a consistent change. Like, I'm hoping that, yeah, fat body representation is up, because for me, it's frustrating. Like, I'm not, like, having that effect. Maybe I think we all have body image issues, but I'm not letting that, like, directly affect. I get doubly mad, because I get mad because I'm, like, I'm attracted to that. And it's because, like, people I love straight up feel down and out because of that. And it doesn't matter if, yeah, like, in my personal relationships, I don't make them feel that way. It's like, you can't avoid those kind of things. So I think it's awesome that it's going up, but I always have that skeptical nature.
I completely hear what you're saying, and I think you're doing a great job with your artwork and your illustration to give us that kind of representation that is on the upswing, but still needs some, you know, change and progression and movement. And I really think, like, what you're doing is amazing. Please don't ever stop. I'm one of those people who, like, I need to see you on my feed or I'm gonna forever feel sad.
Oh, thank you. That's so sweet and so nice to hear. Yeah. It really is. Like, it makes, I don't know. It works both ways. I'm just rambling about, like, how it's, we have to make big body people feel better, but it also, like, it makes people who were, Alex Smith and I get along so well because we both feel like we were born liking big men. Liking big men is as a part of our sexual awakening as realizing we were queer was. So there's something about it that's like everyone's feelings are getting hurt that is involved, that considers themselves in relationships with or are big-bodied people. They're just like, everyone's just, I think it's good that everyone's just getting sick of it. And I'm just happy to be doing something that, like, people,
yeah,
are responding nicely to. So
I would hope so. I would hope they're responding 100% with great news.
Yeah. Yeah. That's another thing. It's like not many negative comments. And I think people are like, maybe I see, like, some artists that get negative comments from, like, random people who are just fat phobic idiots. But I think my art does have an edge to it that's a little more aggressive, that maybe suggests this is not bubblegummy. I won't be nice if you reach out to me, because it's like I do stuff that is sometimes a little violent, but it's usually not, like I was saying before, it tends to be like kind of social statement stuff.
And I feel if you can put your whole truth and transparency on it, I feel like that you even resonate even more with your audience.
True. Because
then they're like, okay, now they're really putting, it's not just fluff work. Now it's actual, like, I can see where they get the essence of their illustration, their artwork from.
True. And that's awesome.
I love it. Yeah.
Thank you.
Of course. Where can my audience and my listeners find you?
On social media, Twitter and Instagram, I'm at James Dillenbeck. I'm at jamesdillenbeckart.com and patreon.com/JamesDillenbeckArt, I believe. So my store is linked to my website, all that stuff. So
awesome.
That's where you can locate me.
Guys, this was James, and I'm so happy to have him on here. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure. It was so nice to meet you.